Hey, what up, though? This is the Chill Bravado Podcast, and this is your Laker 82-16 series where we cover the grind of the season of the 82-game season for the Lakers. And, of course, it takes 16 wins in the end to get the chip, so we are here for the whole grind, the good, bad, and the ugly. We've had a lot of ugly, but I promise you there are some I'm not going to say good, you know, moments. It's some okay moments, and then there's some bad moments, you know. So we're going to get into those things. In today's topics, we're going to talk about Vogel. The Fire Vogel chants have been going off a lot lately. Let's see if the Fire Vogel and the Let's Go Brandon chant are continued. And then we're going to also talk about Malik Monk and what he has brought to the table. The things I like about him, the things that I notice when he's in the lineup, and the things that he brings. And then we're going to also finish off and just we're going to hit on LeBron returning again. And we're going to talk about Trevor Ariza updates. And then we're just going to, you know, speak on briefly the Clippers coming up Friday, whether it's televised or not. And then we have Boston again after that. So let's see what we can do against two rivals back to back. We're not really back to back. One on Friday. I think the other one's on Tuesday. But I'm excited about both games coming up. Only because I just want to see us go up against those big wings that I've been talking about. So, without further ado, this is the Chill Bravado Podcast. This is your Laker 82-16 series. I'm your boy, Chill B. All right, we are back. I want you to go follow, subscribe to your boy on Twitter, at Chill Catch Vibes, and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all over. Just check out the Chill Bravado Podcast. This is the Laker 82-16 series, and first topic we want to get into is just talking about Frank Vogel. Fire Frank Vogel. Yeah, man, it's been as popular as Let's Go Brandon out here. And if you were, you know, vivid follower of all the Biden and stuff, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if not, Google it. You know, they try to make a joke. Hee hee, ha ha. But moving right along to Vogel, who said, I ain't no joke, if you know your history in hip-hop, because he's been under fire lately, as I feel like a part of it is warranted. I think he needs to be feeling a little heat. I don't think it's seeking to be hot. I just think it need to be warm. And obviously, just from what we've been hearing from reports and stuff, he must know it's warm. Okay, because 4 minutes into this game against Sacramento, him and DJ are having a conversation. You know, he started DJ. You know, we had no Avery Bradley. We had no LeBron James. Okay, he rolls out DJ. I get it. You know, you're throwing your big out there. You've been going with him. But DJ obviously didn't do something or didn't have the effort or just something Vogel didn't like. He immediately, he puts Dwight Howard in the game. And I'm thinking, dang, it's early for Dwight to be coming off the bench, right? And as we look on, you know, still the first half was trash. I mean, we definitely didn't play well in the first half. There was a lot of turnovers. There was a lot of dunks by Sacramento. And it was just, honestly, I was just, you know, just watching the game. Just so I want to see if they're going to bounce back. I'm thinking we're going to lose this game. I'm getting in my, you know, I'm going ahead and putting on Twitter. I'm like, well, here we go again. We don't have to wait to the third quarter. And then, you know, you just start to see throughout the game. And then in the second half, you notice that they come out, and even though they even started off a little slow in the second half in the third quarter, but man, they picked it up. And you know, people are saying now that Vogel had gave them this speech about, you know, don't say you want to win a championship and you're not willing to get an effort. You know, whatever the speech was, you know, Dwight Howard and the others spoke on it and saying that Vogel got them fired up. You know, and after a win, of course, you're gonna like. I think it's just sports to make you kind of hype up the thing. He might not have been that hype, but we, you know, it's entertainment. So here we are. We're saying Vogel went in there. He hyped them up and gave them the speech. And you're looking at a room full of veterans, and I'm trying not to be negative because I'm thinking, how much does this guy have to motivate you veterans? I mean, I know it's a game that, you know, you're probably thinking, oh, you know, just a regular season game. We're trying to keep this, you know, this facade that, oh, well, we'll get it together. Or are you just all the way on the other end where people are like, trade Russ, getting LeBron out of here, AD soft, you know, and this it's just this huge window, you know, it's like very wide is of how Laker fans feel right now, and I understand the trauma that y'all in. I try to stay as calm as possible, and that's why I'm here for you, man. Laker 82-16, this grind is for everybody. I will say Vogel impressed me because he didn't wait. He took Dwight, stuck him in the game, and Dwight, he cannot say he didn't get enough minutes this game. I mean, Dwight was out there for 35 minutes, put up 12 points, 13 rebounds. They say he haven't had a block in like 5 games. Well, I think we might be kind of, you know, exaggerating a little bit because he probably didn't play in some of these games. But that was alarming to hear that he hasn't had a block. But he had 2 this game. In as many minutes as he played, he was a plus 27. If you were a nerd when it comes to analytics and the plus minus, I am not. But I do point it out there. So I'm just looking at Vogel. I'm like, okay, what lit a fire under you? You know? And not only is he, you know, lit up on this, he's going to move forward and say that Dwight will be starting against the Clippers. So, and we're going to be playing one big man at a time moving forward. So right now, DJ can take a break, take a rest, because I feel like DJ had a couple good games and, you know, a couple, you know, he's only playing like 13 minutes a night if he, you know, when he gets in there. I think he had a couple solid moments. I don't know about good games. I'm saying he had some solid moments where he made some, you know, some, okay, DJ still got it moves, but then there's times where it's just, he just looks like he just doesn't have the motor anymore. And that's the problem with a lot of these guys on this team. Either they've gotten to the point where that motor just doesn't run that high anymore, or you got guys who, motivation-wise, you can just tell they're not putting in the effort. Some of these guys who have just been known just to be scorers on other teams that they've been on, now you're asked to be, no, you're going to be role players. You're going to play a role here. The stars are Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. The superstar is LeBron James, and you work around with them. So, although the offense still is going to look crazy because Vogel, you know, I honestly just think he just lets LeBron and them guys figure it out in Fizdale. And it's movement going on while we have all these post-ups and ISOs, but it's like only one cut. And then it's like everybody just stands and watch, and then you have the bailout fadeaway jumper from AD, or the three-pointer from LeBron, or he throws it to somebody and they have to throw it up. But I just feel like, you know, Vogel right now has an opportunity to put some of that heat that on his seat. He has a chance to cool it off a little bit. And we can cool off the fire Vogel thing. Because right now, if you fire Vogel, where you going next? We're going to Fizdale? One of LeBron's guys? I don't know. I'm not really a fan of that just because I don't know which way that's going to go. Is it going to help either way? We need to see if Vogel can get this defense to clicking, because honestly, in that second half, when they made that run, you don't make that run unless you're putting some effort on defense. And you started seeing it, man, from guys. And no LeBron there, no Avery Bradley there. So it's like guys finally got up and took something personal. Dwight Howard played great. He didn't have a lot of big eyeball, you know, stacks that just stuck out. Anthony Davis picked up as well. Russell Westbrook, who I feel like he's not getting a lot of love, but he gets so much hate. That first half, people was just like, oh, here he goes again. And it's like ready to be so negative with Russ. But that second half, you have to admit that Russ played well in the third quarter. I mean, this guy, he begins to just rock the baby on some of these guys. And I just feel like we don't give him the credit when he actually needs it. Like, how do we as fans, we really don't like our team. And so we want them to be, you know, to either be great so we can cheer and, yeah, but when they have struggles and they're bad, we just want to continue to be bad. So now we have a scapegoat. So Vogel was the scapegoat. Russ has been that, but you're not going to get rid of a player before a coach. So, of course, it's going to trickle down. First thing in order is Vogel. Fire him. Okay, so they think that's going to light a spark. But Vogel right now, I tip my cap off to him because he's able to right now. If he can get the Clippers on Friday and we can get some revenge on Boston, you're in a position where you're not worried about old Vogel so much. He's still going to be someone when we have bad offensive nights that they're going to blame. But if you're getting wins, those little chitter-chatter lines are going to eventually fall on deaf ears or fade away. And then we'll get back to praising LeBron, and now Vogel's not even needed. It's still not needed, but you know, when we win, it's because of LeBron and his greatness. When we lose, it's because of Vogel. It's because of Russ. It's because AD's soft. It's because we're old. It's like a lot of excuses why this thing shouldn't work. And I'm just excited, once again, because I want to see, can we live up to the hype? Can we face the adversity that we're in, sitting at 12 and 11? When I watch the Warriors and the Sun get flexed to the Friday game on ESPN, and they kick the Lakers off against the Clippers, I took that little person when I first read that. I hope they do too. We'll be right back. We got to talk about Malik Monk, what he's bringing to the table. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast. All right, we are back. Laker 8216 series on the Chill Bravado Podcast. I'm your boy Chill, and right now we're gonna get into Malik Monk. Malik Monk has been a spark plug here and there throughout the season, and it definitely is needed, and it showed itself against Sacramento. All right, let's get this straight. When he's up, then he's up. All right, when he's on, he's on, okay? And when he gets in his bag, he has a skill set that nobody else on the Lakers have at his position. Pretty much on the whole team. He is the smoothest and most fluent guy we have in all different areas. He's a catch and shoot guy. Carmelo, who's been our greatest veteran right now when it comes to being a bench role player, but he's more of a catch and shoot guy, ISO shoot over his shoulder, one dribble pull up guy. Malik Monk has been a catch and shoot guy. He's been a slasher. He's been a guy who I do not like making passes at the end of critical games, because he had a couple passes that just makes me just smack my, just scratch my head. But when he's in his bag and he's feeling it, he's able to go finish at the rim, left hand, right hand. He has a athletic, athleticism about himself that we don't have in the other guards. Even THT, who's kind of more crafty, a guy who uses his body to, create the space he needs to finish with crafty layups. Malik Monk is able to, finish at the rim when not, when he's not, challenged by a 7-footer or big or whatever. But his ability to cut, to finish with left hand, the touch he has on his floaters, all these things, he's the guy who really, until Kendrick Nunn is able to come back and show us what he really has, Malik Monk is one of one on this team, and he is very needed. And I think we should give him his flowers and celebrate the games like this, because just maybe we can bottle up enough confidence in him that when these games, start to really, really, really matter, and let's say we get in the playoffs and we really need a guy to come off the bench and just kind of pull us off, we're on the plug, we're about to flatline, but we need a guy to come in there and give us a little jump, a little shock, a little spark. I believe Malik Monk has given us at least the excitement of what he might can be. Now, we look back, and he just recently had a game where he only had 2 points. Okay, so I'm not overreacting to anything, but I definitely want to recognize it. And it's just no one else on the team that can do what he does. And I'm just looking around like, man, how many more of these games can we get out of him? And it don't even have to be just him all the time, because I'm talking about Malik Monk, but I could be very well, as we talked about Carmelo Anthony in the past, I could talk about Wayne Ellington and his ability to say, hey, I'm a catch and shoot guy, but I can catch and shoot. I can come off of screens. I can relocate. I can catch and fire that thing as soon as it touched my hands. Even him and Malik Monk have had, little pockets in the game where there actually been more effort on the defensive end. We're not like we're asking them to go out there and like guard the best wing, but when they get switched over sometime or running over screens and whatnot, we have seen them be able to hold their own from time to time. And I think in that run against Detroit, even in Detroit, but that run against Sacramento, we got to see Malik Monk was out there for majority of that. And when you got guys like Dwight who's bringing the energy in the interior, when you got Anthony Davis, when you have Russell's in his bag, Malik doing what he does, it just shows you, man, that this team just has to play harder and play better and play smarter and play together. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that they got that there and they can do it. They just have to continue to do it. It's no more of this, they're just coasting, or, oh, it's the injuries. Well, that's a part of it, okay? Injuries are going to happen. We definitely don't sit here and blame the whole season on just injuries. We watch these games. Some of these games have been terrible to watch, even when the big three are there. But rotation-wise, I mean, it's just like we just have to figure it out. Maybe this Dwight thing is going to give us a spark in, you know, at that position right now. We'll see. Maybe Malik Monk is going to continue to give us some of this on, I mean, not nightly, because he's outlived his veteran minimum contract already. Just with the game, him and Carmelo both. If you get games like this out of vet mid guys, so we can stop pretending like these guys are like, oh, they suck. Da, da, da. We know they don't, and we know individually they have skills. But now we're trying to see if we can piece this together collectively. Can Vogel continue to keep those let's go Vogel chants to, you know, keep those out of the air, out of the atmosphere? I want Vogel to succeed. I'm very much got my eye raised up at him just because I want to see, can we make a consistent effort, or do we have to go out there and blow him out every halftime? That's what I don't want to hear about him doing it every big game, every close game, every game we don't have a lot of energy. I'm just ready to see, can he do his job? And as well as see, can Malik Monk continue to, you know, put out a role that Vogel can use? Because if he's playing like this, Vogel has to find minutes. And when guys are out, like Avery Bradley out, when LeBron misses the game, or just when, you know, since Kent Bazemore's kind of been, you know, put on the shelf, it's just we need Malik Monk to force them to play him because he's playing well. That's what we want. We want Malik Monk to force them to say, we got to play this guy. He's just too valuable. And that's going to help us. That's going to help, you know, relieve some of the pressure off us living and dying with every Melo 3. Because Melo, who's been struggling, those legs are starting to show. You can see that he's 37 now. It's just a part of the game, man. Like, he's trying. It's effort there. But he can't move them puppies like he used to. And even when he was in his prime, he was not a great defender. But right now, I think he's playing smart defense when he can. But when he got guys that can just go around him, then he fouls. So we need to make sure we keep Malik Monk, Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, these guys from fouling and fouling and fouling. So I'm very much excited about what Malik Monk has the opportunity to do for himself and his career. You know, one of the things that I love to talk about, you know, I talk to my guys, I say I love legacy moments. And Malik doesn't have legacy moments yet, because he's still very young in his career. But, you know, the legacy moments really are for those big-time guys like Melo and Bron and AD. These guys, Russ, who have already played in the league so long, and they're chasing a different type of success than Malik Monk. Right now, Malik Monk isn't trying to go for legacy moments. Right now, he's just trying to, you know, create that moment. He's trying to create his identity in this league. He's trying to, you know, get his path back on track. So hopefully this year, you know, however it may fall, he's going to look back and either A, be a guy who can come back and do some things for the Lakers, which if he plays well enough, he's probably gone. And I'm fine with that because he needs to be being paid more than that. So hopefully this year is successful. And if we can find a way to get to that chip, a guy like Malik Monk walking won't be as bad because, hey, he done his job. But just looking as a fan of him, I'm just excited what he's going to be able to do for himself if he continues to have games like this, especially when it comes down to big critical moments. So now we can start, you know, getting him in those moments so he can make himself, you know, start the beginning of that journey on the legacy. So I'm all for it, man. Malik Monk, keep balling out. Melo, rest them legs. Dwight, man, just don't get in foul trouble. Don't get ticks. That's all I ask. We're going to close out. We're going to talk about LeBron James returning for the Clippers on Friday. We're going to talk about Ariza. And I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns, who I feel like definitely I'm jealous of. Jealous. We're going to get back. Laker 82 16, the Chill Bravado Podcast. Right, before we get out of here, I gotta speak on LBJ, him going down with the health and safety protocol, and now he's back just that fast. I know a lot of people gonna speculate how this guy beat COVID in 2 days. You know, I already seen a tweet say he built different, and you're gonna learn. I hate that quote, I hate it because sports fans use it too much. But although LeBron is built different, I just the trauma from seeing that about every player who makes a great play is built different. But nevertheless, when let's talk about this, man. He's coming back. He's going to be here for the Clippers. I'm concerned because it's like we haven't been able to get any rhythm seeing LeBron James in the lineup with this team. And I want to see Russ go off with LeBron James in the lineup. I want to see Malik Monk. How can he insert himself, not necessarily 22 points in a game, in the lineup when LeBron James is playing? I want to see Wayne Ellington continue to get open looks from LeBron James. I want to see AD, assert himself in there and not sit back and in the overtime trilogy against Sacramento, it was just simple. LeBron come down, shoot three. LeBron come down, take a shot. And it was just like, why can't we get AD any touches? That alarmed me, not because they lost, because I could care less after the first two overtimes. I was on, at regulation, I was done with the game. I just wanted to see what we're going to be able to sneak out and get a win. We can complain about it. But they, messed around and lost, And then we really could complain about it. But I had to go to sleep and go to work first because I'm an East Coast guy. Watching the Lakers play a late game, then go into three overtimes, it was terrible, I was like, man, it's going to be a long day. And then having to go to work. But I was just thinking to myself, like, man, can we please get LeBron in the lineup for multiple games and get a winning streak going where we see this team gel together? And we've been doing a lot of squeaking by teams. I think we beat only two teams now that we've, smashed Sacramento. And then we beat the Rockets by 10. Those are the only two double-digit wins we've had. So I'm not looking for us to blow out every team. But I just want to see how we look in a stretch of games, in a stretch of weeks, when we string together a five-game winning streak, a three-game winning streak, as far as AD, a 10-game winning streak. I really love that. So we just need to keep monitoring and just, keep prayers up if you're one of those people who just like, my God, please, just let LeBron be healthy. The amount of games he's missed, it's just been absurd. But we have the Clippers coming into town. And although PG rested the other night, I'm pretty sure he's playing Friday. When I looked last, he was not on the injury report at all. Of course, they still don't have Kawhi Leonard. I think Nicholas Batum is still out, that helps us in our favor because this is one of those matches where I was like, okay, these bigger wings, when we started going against them, and we're about to go against a few, even though Nicholas Batum is out, you still have Paul George. I'm a fan of Reggie Jackson when he's on. So if he gets hot, it makes me nervous. Morris Twin, I just hope he doesn't have a good game, because if he starts hitting corner threes and he's allowed to roam around, do whatever you want. Zubac, I feel like if we can just, Dwight can keep him at bay, we'll be in a good position. But I want to see how we defend these bigger wings. Like, how are we going to go against a guy like Paul George, who's very smooth, crafty, and his ability to rise up over guys? So I'm pretty sure Avery Bradley's probably still not going to be back for this game. But I was just looking, and I'm like, man, Avery's a good perimeter defender, but man, it's just his size just doesn't give him the advantage when you're going against a guy like the size of Paul George, especially in the regular season game where there's no pressure on Paul George. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what we're going to do against that. In that news, talking about big wings, Trevor Ariza, we finally see that he talks to media day after not talking to the media, had not talked to the media since media day. We now see he had a little time after Vogel got off the other night, and he spoke with the media. So here we are with that, man. And I know everybody's like, he's 36. He's 36. I mean, I know we're not asking him to come and be a savior to this team, but just that ability to have that, once again, versatility to put a guy who of his size, and if he can bring us anything to the table, and I say us, I mean the Lakers and the fans. I hate saying us and we all the time, because this is really, come on, guys. We get too invested, but I get it. Us and we. I'm gonna keep saying it. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep saying it. Us and we. So hopefully he can bring us some added defensive prowess, and he can give us something that we don't have in the other guys, because Carmelo is just not able to take that type of defensive pressure off of guys like AD and LeBron the way we hope that Trevor Ariza can do. And if he can hit the corner three, that's a plus at that size. And when we go to these small ball lineups, let's say LeBron at the five again, if you roll out with LeBron, Ariza, and then you throw in your other guys however you see fit at the five, Trevor gives you more of a defensive lineup instead of rolling out Carmelo Anthony with him, which is more of an offensive driven lineup. So we, like I said, once healthy, man, I'm just curious to see, even though it's going to be a short window of time, because right now Kendrick Nunn is just, I was so excited, but now it's just like, man, he's not coming. You know, it's like he called ahead to the team, like, hey, you know, hey, man, Malik, Kendrick, you coming to the cookout? And he asked, like, who all there? And it's like he's not coming. Why? Why is Kendrick not coming? I mean, we waiting on Kendrick Nunn. Like, we're waiting on the Kendrick Lamar album. I'm like, bro, is he going to drop at midnight? Are you coming back? So I'm just really curious to see what Kendrick Nunn can bring, because although I brag about Malik Monk's ability to score, Kendrick Nunn has that in his bag as well, but I just don't know if it's as crafty as him. But I'm just wanting to see what it's going to look like when we have got multiple guys we can throw in there, you know. And shout out to Austin Reeves, who came back, which was good to see him back. But, you know, can't ask much from the young guy. You know, just do what he can and help us with in the matters he can. So these big wing teams coming up, like the Clippers and like Boston, playmakers, you know, stars, and talking to Paul George and Tatum. And is Brown back for Boston? If he is, that alarms me too. It makes me nervous. I just don't like it. But I feel like we have to see this happen. So what do you guys think when you see this matchup coming up? So I'm going to close out with this. Listen, we are on a journey, all right? We're on a journey. We have to understand that on the way to a journey and you following the map, no map has a straight line, all right? So let's stop thinking we're going to have this straight and narrow path to what our goals are. It's going to be up and down, hills and valleys. And I know it sounds like I'm preaching, and the way I am preaching right now. That's right. Minister Chill wants you to chill out, okay? I want you to calm down. I want you just to relax. And when we win a game, even if it's ugly, let's acknowledge the win, point out the ugly, but let's just say, hey, we got that win on our belt. And when we lose, the sky is not falling. Even though I might be pissed off at times, the sky is not falling. So here we are. We are 12-11. We getting ready to go up against the Clippers. We getting ready to go up against Boston. Let's get ready to face some tougher offensive opponents, and let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can catch the West is still tight. You know, I'm very, very much impressed and jealous of the Warriors and the Suns, and we get to see them on ESPN Friday instead of us. I know. I want to see how long the Warriors can play to this level. I want to see what Klay look like when they come back. I want to see Jordan Poole. I want to see what is he going to be able to do when Klay comes back as well. Are they going to be able to keep this up, this defense that everybody's talking about? I want to see what they do. I feel like the Suns, though, make me sick because of Jay Crowder and Cameron Payne. And then I love hate relationship for Chris Paul because he whines and he flops too much, and Booker, at like, he just should not be touched at all. Anytime he's touched, bumped, when he forced the contact or not, he's upset every time, and the Suns just annoying me that way. But I just respect and I'm jealous of their ability to get guys like Chris Paul. Orchestrates that thing so well. Booker, even to an extent where he can get in the paint and he can just snipe you from the mid range, and then boom, it's to the corner. It's Bridges, who's playing well, and they're going to continue to tell us how great he is as a role player. They're just all year. And let's see where these guys end up at the end of the year. Do I think the Suns or Warriors are going to win the chip? No. Do I think the Warriors are going to win? Probably better shot than the Suns. Do I think the Lakers are going to win? Not right now, no. But we'll see.